All right. I'd like to thank everybody for giving me the chance to preach every other Sunday. And I know this Sunday we're doing it a little different. I'm going first this time. And one of the thoughts, Abe kind of lets me come up with the thoughts that we use for our, I kind of call them two-part studies. Either Abe leads the first one and Roger or I do the second one or something like that, or vice versa. And one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about is habits. And, you know, habits can be used in multiple things. You know, we normally think of bad habits, but, you know, habits actually help us control our entire lives, whether we think about them or whether we don't. And that's just the idea that I had this morning. And to kind of go along with this whole theme of habits, I'm pretty sure you may have seen the Habits for Highly Effective People. So, you know, we have the 7 Habits by Stephen Covey, and I don't know if any of us have read these. These are something, I had to read this one in high school. It was the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens. Then he has, like, the 7 Habits of how to study and all these things. But one that I recently finished was The Power of Habit, Why We Do What We Do. And this is a very interesting book that looks at habits and how businesses leverage habits, whether you believe what you're doing is actually what you're doing. Take, for instance, like Kroger and a lot of businesses. When you walk in, what way do you walk? Well, they expect you to walk to the right. That's just how they market. That's how they plan. That's just how you function as a human. Especially that's how we drive. When you walk down the street, you only walk on the right side. You know, that's a habit of ours. You know, we even do it without thinking. And this morning, I didn't want to define habits. So I kind of got this brief synopsis of just talking about habits. You know, because I always think we can define something, but, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. So I have habits or routines of behavior that are repeated regularly and tend to occur subconsciously. So subconsciously means we're not even thinking about this. Habitual behavior often goes unnoticed in persons exhibiting it because a person does not need to engage in self-analysis when undertaking routine tasks. It's kind of a lot to think about. But I thought about this in our Christian lives. These habits. So if we have these Christian habits, if we have these things, we can do these routine behaviors and not even have to think about them. So, you know, you think of living a Christian life. So if you have these habits instilled in your life to where you don't even have to think about these things, that's just kind of the idea that I had with habits. Yet again, I thank Abe for kind of letting me go first because I kind of wanted to set the stage for these thoughts of habits. Now, I know Stephen Covey had 7 habits for highly effective people, but since me and Abe's doing this, we put it to 8, and then we divided it by 2. So he's going to do 4, and I'm going to do 4. So I have 4 habits from the Bible and how these habits were used by those that serve God. And that's also what's interesting about me and Abe splitting this. I'm not exactly sure how he's going to lay his out. But when I was putting this together and thinking about this, I was thinking of, we have examples in the Bible of habits that were used by early Christians, and then we have examples of them using those habits. So that's kind of how I've laid out today's lesson is, we're going to look at habits, and then those habits in use. That's just kind of the step approach that I came up with today. And also, I just kind of put this slide in here to remind me of a few things. There's 4 habits that we're going to discuss, and there is a lot of verses to go along with these habits. And I, for just one of the habits, I had like 60-some verses. And I was just like, wow. So I just picked a few of them. Because I always think when somebody's up here preaching, I'm like, oh, well, they should have used this passage. This one was my favorite. You know, so I just kind of was going to let everybody know, you know, how to follow along. Well, you can follow along with this lesson, even if you want to incorporate your own passages that you think, hey, well, this will work perfect with this habit, or this will work great for that. Because like I said, there's a lot of verses in Scripture that we can come up with these habits. So I just kind of put this in here to remind me that, you know, if you have passages that you like that fit along with this, feel free to use those when you're trying to come up with your habits. So the first habit that we're going to talk about today is pray. As you can imagine, that this would be a great habit to have, and especially going back to kind of how we defined what a habit was, to do this subconsciously, you know, and in that, I think of 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. And specifically, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. So, it kind of builds our habit right there, to pray without ceasing. And I always think of, you know, if something were to happen to us, you know, do we go to prayer first? You know, do we have a habit of waking up in the morning and praying, or praying before we go to bed, or praying before we eat? You know, it doesn't say that we have to do it at those times. But hey, that creates a great habit. You know, I think of every time that I sit down to eat, you know, your mind automatically goes there if you've set that habit. You know, and then I also think, you know, if we hear of somebody that's sick, you know, do we right away say a little prayer for that person? You know, if we do, that's a great habit to build. You know, and especially from this verse right here, pray without ceasing. And also here in Mark 1:35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And I'm just using the excerpt out of Mark here, because this is talking about Jesus. So he had this habit of getting up, going to a solitary place, and praying. And we see that throughout Jesus' life, that he did this. So we have this habit of prayer and how it's used. And of course, we see it used by Jesus and everything here, and how he lays that out. And also, here in James, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So yet again, this is something that I was talking along the lines of, when we hear something that's happened to somebody, you know, do we pray? Do we go and think about that? Just something that I've kind of studied with just habits is, if you do something for 21 days, according to science, it's 21 days or 28 days, that becomes a habit. And that's just really interesting to think about. So if we made this habit of prayer, or the other ones that we'll be discussing today, you know, in that amount of setting aside this time, there's even websites that are set up in 21 and 28 day calendars that you can try to build these new habits. But when it comes to prayer, I know the verses that I used were in the New Testament, but this was the example that I wanted to use when I thought about trying to set up the habit of prayer. And I can't think of Daniel without thinking about somebody that had the habit of prayer. But I just kind of used this verse. This verse is just an excerpt. But it's also something interesting to think about what happened before this verse and after this verse. So it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, so the writing that was signed was a decree from the king that you weren't allowed to worship anything else other than the king. Because if you did, you were thrown into the lion's den. So he knew that that was signed. And he went home. And in his upper room, with his window open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since early days. So this was his habit. This is what Daniel did, even though he knew something was going to happen to him. You know, and it even says since his early days, because we think Daniel would have been about 70, close to maybe 80, when he was thrown into the lion's den. So when you think of since his custom, since the early days, he's been doing this for a long time by this point. And of course, we all know the story of him being thrown in the lion's den and God closing the mouths of the lions and everything like that. But what a habit. What a great thing to have. You know, even though he knew that he was going to have this adversity come to him, he still did his habit of praying. And that kind of is how this is laid out. Kind of some thoughts about our habit and then kind of how it was implemented. So this is prayer. So let's go to our next one. We have singing. And this is another interesting habit to have. You know, I often think if we gathered together and didn't sing, you know, how would we feel? That would, you know, with leaving services, something would be wrong. You know, so here in Ephesians 5 and 19, it says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, it's such a great habit, this singing. You know, and also here in Hebrews 2 and 12, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So we think of this singing, you know, and about how, you know, we're taught to sing to one another. And basically, it's not only singing for ourselves, but, you know, we uplift one another in our singing. You know, not only is this a good habit to bring us up spiritually, but also for others. And then that gets us into implementing this habit. Because here in Acts, we think of Paul and Silas. They're imprisoned at this point. And what are they doing? They're praying and singing. And the other prisoners are listening to them. So, you know, I've thought of this several times of when Paul and Silas are there in prison and they're praying and singing. And just think of how miserable their condition probably was and how all of the other prisoners were at this time. Who knows? They may have probably never heard singing in the prison before. And just think about how Paul and Silas had this habit, and they knew what good singing did for them. And of course, we knew that there was an earthquake, and their chains were lifted, and the doors were opened, and there was a lot that happened there in those verses. But creating that habit of singing, not only here at church, but at other places, you know, because Paul and Silas, you know, weren't gathered together, you know, for services or anything. They were here in prison and singing. You know, I think of how that can uplift us. You know, even when we're down, just singing can just uplift you. So, what a habit to build. And to go along with singing, being positive. You know, when you think of a habit of being positive, just think of how Paul and Silas were there in prison. But let's turn over to Philippians in 4 and 6 through 7. These are some of my favorite verses that I've had highlighted in my Bible for a long time, because it says, be anxious for nothing, and everything in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which suppresses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So, if we have this habit of being positive and having prayer, because we had prayer was our first habit, we know that we can turn these things over to God and not to be anxious for things. That we can literally turn everything over to Him and that He'll take it for us. You know, and that positive attitude that we can have, it can lift our spirits up and it can take worry away. You know, with being positive and praying. So we're combining a couple of our habits here together. And also, in Proverbs, there's always positive things that you can pull out of Proverbs. That's always a lot to think about in Proverbs. A merry heart does good, like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. You know, I think a merry heart does good like medicine. You know, so it's saying that, you know, if you're happy and you're positive all the time, that's better than any medicine that you could have. Just having that uplifted feeling. And I always think of, you know, the chemicals that are released in the human body whenever you're happy or positive. You know, that's just so much evidence that God wants us to be this way. And even, you know, the chemicals that can be released from praying and singing and stuff can uplift you, can lift up your spirits and have that positive attitude. But for the ones that know me, they know that Proverbs 25:11 is one of my favorite verses. And it's word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Because I always think of if you're positive, you know, that it can bring up everyone around you, that positive feeling. And you know, I've thought about this verse quite a bit. Like I said, it's my favorite verse. And a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. You know, have you ever seen somebody down and you lift them up? You know, when you say something to them, that's better than giving to them apples of gold and settings of silver. And I've often thought about these apples of gold and settings of silver. I looked up the price of gold last night, and I figured, that, you know, if you have a setting of silver and you have four apples in your setting, and the platter is silver, so if an apple weighs 1.5 pounds in gold, roughly, anyway, the math comes out to about $10,000. And I've thought of that, you know, just if you had these platters of these solid gold apples and settings of silver, you know, and you think of presenting that to somebody, how uplifting that would be, especially if they didn't have any money or something like that. But saying that fitting word, saying those right things, is just as well as handing them all this gold and silver. You know, and I've seen that response on people before. You know, just saying something at the right time, or, you know, even if somebody tells you one of their problems and you say, you know, hey, I'll pray for you about that. You see that change in somebody. That those words fitly spoken really do mean a whole lot. You know, because really when it comes down to it, the apples of gold and settings of silver are just things of this world. You know, those are things that are just going to pass away. And, you know, when we can uplift and build up somebody and even bring them to Christ could mean way more than anything on this earth. So I think that verse could be really deep. And also in Matthew 6:33, when I think of being positive, you know, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So when we seek the kingdom first, all of these things will be added to us. So when we put God first, we can be positive. You know, we can have all these things. You know, especially when we put God first. So, these are kind of my supporting verses for this habit. And I kind of was trying to think, well, you know, how can I come up with some verses that really implement how positive we can be. And it was kind of hard to come up with single passages. There was a lot of stories that I wanted to have about maybe Peter or Paul. But I kind of went with this one with Paul, and I kind of wanted to think about this for a minute. It says, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. And probably think, well, why did you use that verse? Well, I kind of wanted to think about what all happened to Paul before this happened. A lot had happened to him. He's been on several journeys at this time. He's been shipwrecked. He's been bitten by snakes. He's had a lot happen to him. And even though he was shipwrecked, you know, he still stayed with the guards. And all of these things happened to him. But yet, when he was in his rented house, because he was basically under like a house arrest, he was still preaching the kingdom of God and teaching these things. So I think of a habit of when you're positive, you're not going to let anything slow you down. Just think of all the things that happened to him. He was even stoned at one point. And to think that after all of those things that happened to him, being shipwrecked and, you know, being captured and appealing before Caesar, you know, and then still, even when he was put under house arrest, he was still preaching and teaching these things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, how positive could you be at that point? I'm pretty sure he was so excited to think that he could still teach and preach even under these situations that he's been put in. That he still was able to go through these things to preach after all that had happened to him. And I think of what a positive outlook. I think of probably none of these things may happen to me what happened to Paul. And yet he was still positive through every bit of this and still preaching and teaching the word. And kind of getting in here to our basically our last point, our last habit, is daily Bible study. And yet again, I had quite a few verses to go along with this. And I might have a couple verses that you're probably like, well, why did you use that one? But I'll explain them here in a minute. So let's take a look at Acts 17:11. And, you know, there's a lot going on with this verse. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So we have Paul talking here, and they're thinking about, you know, whether they're preaching what is right. But how did they know what was right? Well, they were searching the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So therefore, they studied them daily to find out these things. And also in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And it also depends on what version you have. Sometimes, or some passages say, study to present yourself approved to God. Some say diligent. I think anything along those lines, to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're really seeing that you have to be diligent in God's word. You know, you need to study it and to put these things together. And I kind of had these verses here together because we find out that them here, they studied to find out whether what they were being taught was true. You know, and that's something that we still stress today, is to make sure that everything you're learning is the truth. And also here in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, and this is something that we've used quite a bit, it says, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we have this here in 2 Timothy where it's talking about all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So everything in this book has been given by inspiration of God. And I think of the word reproof and for correction and instruction. I think of, you know, if we're wanting to change things, well, you know, is that right? Is that right according to the word? You know, can I just get up here and change how everything works and how everything happens? Well, you know, do we need to check that? Do we need to reproof? I always think of reproof as like proofreading. You know, if somebody were to come up with laws, well, you're going to have to go back and check the law book to make sure that that fits with everything. And for correction, so I think of if it was wrong, then it needs to be corrected. And for instruction and righteousness, I think that this instruction is, well, how do you get instruction? Well, you're going to have to study it. You're going to have to read it, and you're going to have to have everything laid out. So to go along with that, I kind of was thinking about a lot of the letters that are written. So in 1 Corinthians 2:9, and you might be thinking of why I use this, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor heard nor even entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And I kind of wanted to think about this in a couple ways. Throughout the Bible, we see several times either Jesus or one of the apostles saying, for it is written. Well, how did they know that? I know that, you know, all scripture was given by inspiration of God. So I know that God had a lot to help in, you know, having them write the Bible and everything. But I think of these verses that stand out for when they refer to another part of the Bible. So this is referring back to Isaiah 64:4. And I think, well, you know, if I was going to write a letter to somebody, you know, would I be able to quote the Bible? Would I be able to use scriptures? Would I be able to say, you know, for it was written, you know, and then add verses? Well, the only way that I'm going to be able to do that would be to study the Bible. You know, and to go along with Bible study, you know, it's it's been used throughout the Bible with different passages of people looking in different places. You know, we talk a lot about the Pharisees. You know, they were always trying to trip Jesus up and trying to refer to places in the Bible that maybe went against what he was saying. So when we talk about studying the Bible, I think of the Ethiopian eunuch. So when I was thinking about this, it's actually Acts. I forgot to put Acts up there. Acts 8:26-40. So that kind of gives the whole story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And I just kind of wanted to look at some places here in his story. We know that this person was an important person because it looks like he held all the treasury for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. So this guy is pretty important, and he had went to Jerusalem to worship, and now he's traveling back. So, you know, Philip was given instructions here to go sit with this man. So as it says there in 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. So what was he doing? He was studying. He was reading. So Philip ran up to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. So, you know, this kind of adds a couple ideas here to our daily Bible study. You know, that to study with somebody. You know, to have that habit not only to study, because as this Ethiopian was doing, he was studying, but yet, you know, he asked somebody to come and basically help him study. And with that, it says, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and he baptized him." So, to kind of go along with this study of habit, we think of how well this habit worked out for the Ethiopian. You know, he was confused on a few things. He didn't really understand what he was reading. You know, if we go back and read all the verses from Acts, 8:26-40, you know, he asked Philip to come and sit with him. And then basically he understood about baptism and what he needed to do. You know, so he asked Philip. So I think of these things that can come out of daily Bible study, that Philip was able to help this Ethiopian here. And this Ethiopian may have the same question that everybody has. And I think of there in Acts 2, where everybody there at the day of Pentecost said, "What must we do to be saved?" And I think of this habit of studying the Bible led this eunuch into be saved. So as we kind of wrap it up this morning, that's kind of the last thought that I have of these good things that can come out of our habits. So this person was studying, but yet he learned the truth and he knew what he needed to do. And that's the same question that we may have this morning. So if you want to be baptized like the Ethiopian was, please come forward as we stand and sing the song selected. So shall new God shall be no more, and the dawning rising eternal.